Chapter 42. Remembrance of Dreams. It was a subdued group that Rand led back down the stairs. None of them wanted to talk to him now, or to one another. He did not feel much like talking either. The sun was far enough across the sky to dim the back stairwell, but the lamps had not yet been lit. Sunlight and shadow striped the stairs. Perrin's face was as closed as the others, but where worry creased everyone else's brow, his was smooth. Rand thought the look Perrin wore was resignation. He wondered why and wanted to ask, but whenever Perrin walked through a deeper patch of shadow, his eyes seemed to gather in what little light there was, glowing softly like polished amber. Rand shivered and tried to concentrate on his surroundings, on the walnut-paneled walls and the oak stair railing, on sturdy, everyday things. He wiped his hands on his coat several times, but each time sweat sprang out in his palms anew. "It'll all be all right now. We're together again, and... light, Matt." He took them to the library by the back way that went by the kitchens, avoiding the common room. Not many travelers used the library. Most of those who could read stayed at more elegant inns in the inner city. Master Gill kept it more for his own enjoyment than for the handful of patrons who wanted a book now and then. Rand did not want to think why Moraine wanted to keep them out of sight, but he kept remembering the white cloak under officer saying he would be back, and Elida's eyes when she asked where he was staying. Those were reasons enough, whatever Moraine wanted. He took 5 steps into the library before he realized that everyone else had stopped, crowded together in the doorway, open-mouthed and goggling. A brisk blaze crackled in the fireplace, and Loyal was sprawled in the long couch, reading, a small black cat with white feet, curled and half asleep on his stomach. When they entered, he closed the book with a huge finger marking his place, and gently set the cat on the floor, then stood to bow formally. Rand was so used to the Ogier that it took him a minute to realize that Loyal was the object of the other's stares. "These are the friends I was waiting for, Loyal," he said. "This is Nynaeve, the wisdom of my village, and Perrin, and this is Egwene."
"Ah, yes," Loyal boomed. "Egwene. Rand has spoken of you a great deal. Yes, I am Loyal."
"He's an Ogier," Rand explained, and watched their amazement change in kind. Even after Trollocs and Fades in the flesh, it was still astonishing to meet a legend walking and breathing. Remembering his own first reaction to Loyal, he grinned ruefully. They were doing better than he had. Loyal took their gaping in his stride. Rand supposed he hardly noticed it compared with a mob shouting Trolloc.
"And the Aes Sedai, Rand?"
Loyal asked.
"Upstairs with Matt."
The Ogier raised one bushy eyebrow thoughtfully.
"Then he is ill. I suggest we all be seated. She will be joining us, yes? There's nothing to do but wait."
The act of sitting seemed to loosen some catch inside the Emmonsfield folk, as if being in a well-stuffed chair with a fire in the fireplace and a cat now curled up on the hearth made them feel at home. As soon as they were settled, they excitedly began asking the Ogier questions. To Rand's surprise, Perrin was the first to speak.
"The Steading, Loyal. Are they really havens, the way the stories say?"
His voice was intent, as if he had a particular reason for asking. Loyal was glad to tell about the Steading, and how he came to be at the Queen's Blessing, and what he had seen in his travels. Rand soon leaned back, only partly listening. He had heard it all before, in detail. Loyal liked to talk, and talk at length when he had the slightest chance, though he usually seemed to think a story needed 200 or 300 years of background to make it understood. His sense of time was very strange. To him, 300 years seemed a reasonable length of time for a story or explanation to cover. He always talked about leaving the Steading as if it were just a few months before, but it had finally come out that he had been gone more than 3 years. Rand's thoughts drifted to Matt.
A dagger, a bloody knife, and it might kill him just from carrying it. Light, I don't want any more adventure. If she can heal him, we should all go... not home... can't go home. Somewhere. We'll all go somewhere they've never heard of Aes Sedai or the Dark One. Somewhere. The door opened, and for a moment, Rand thought he was still imagining. Matt stood there blinking, with his coat buttoned up and the dark scarf wrapped low around his forehead. Then Rand saw Moraine, with her hand on Matt's shoulder, and Lan behind them. The Aes Sedai was watching Matt carefully, as one watches someone only lately out of a sickbed. As always, Lan was watching everything while appearing to watch nothing. Matt looked as if he had never been sick a day. His first hesitant smile included everyone, though it slipped into an open-mouthed stare at the sight of Loyal, as if he were seeing the Ogier for the first time. With a shrug and a shake, he turned his attention back to his friends. He took a deep breath.
It seems I've been acting, sort of oddly. I don't remember much of it, really.
He gave Moraine an uneasy look. She smiled back confidently, and he went on.
Everything is hazy after Whitebridge.
He shivered and hurried on.
The further from Whitebridge, the hazier it gets. I don't really remember arriving in Camelin at all.
He eyed Loyal askance.
Not really. Moraine Sedai says
He grinned, and suddenly he truly was the old Matt.
You can't hold a man to blame for what he does when he's crazy, can you?
You always were crazy,
Perrin said, and for a moment he too sounded as of old.
No,
Nynaeve said. Tears made her eyes bright, but she was smiling.
None of us blames you.
Rand and Egwene began talking at once then, telling Matt how happy they were to see him well, and how well he looked, with a few laughing comments thrown in about hoping that he was done with tricks now that one so ugly had been played on him. Matt met banter with banter as he found a chair with all of his old swagger. As he sat down, still grinning, he absentmindedly touched his coat as if to make sure that something tucked behind his belt was still there, and Rand's breath caught.
Yes, Moraine said quietly, he still has the dagger.
The laughter and talk was still going on among the rest of the Emmonsfield folk, but she had noticed his sudden intake of breath and had seen what had caused it. She moved closer to his chair, where she did not have to raise her voice for him to hear clearly.
I cannot take it away from him without killing him. The binding has lasted too long and grown too strong. That must be a knotted in Tarvalin. It is beyond me, or any lone Aes Sedai, even with an Angreal. But he doesn't look sick anymore.
He had a thought and looked up at her.
As long as he has the dagger, the Fades will know where we are. Dark friends, too, some of them. You said so. I have contained that, after a fashion. If they come close enough to sense it now, they will be on top of us anyway. I cleansed the taint from him, Rand, and did what I could to slow its return. But return it will, in time, unless he receives help in Tarvalin. A good thing that's where we're going, isn't it?
He thought maybe it was the resignation in his voice and the hope for something else that made her give him a sharp look before turning away. Loyal was on his feet, bowing to her.
I am Loyal, son of Arendt, son of Hallen, Aes Sedai. The Steading offers sanctuary to the servants of the Light.
Thank you, Loyal, son of Arendt, Moraine answered dryly. But I would not be too free with that greeting if I were you. There are perhaps 20 Aes Sedai in Camelin at this moment, and every one but I of the Red Aja.
Loyal nodded sagely as if he understood. Rand could only shake his head in confusion. He would be light-blinded if he knew what she meant.
It is strange to find you here, the Aes Sedai went on. Few Ogier leave the Steading in recent years.
The old stories caught me, Aes Sedai. The old books filled my unworthy head with pictures. I want to see the groves, and the cities we built, too. There do not seem to be many of either still standing, but if buildings are a poor substitute for trees, they are still worth seeing. The elders think I'm odd wanting to travel. I always have, and they always have. None of them believe there is anything worth seeing outside the Steading. Perhaps when I return and tell them what I've seen, they will change their minds. I hope so, in time.
Perhaps they will, Moraine said smoothly. Now, Loyal, you must forgive me for being abrupt. It is a failing of humankind, I know. My companions and I have urgent need to plan our journey. If you could excuse us?
It was Loyal's turn to look confused. Rand came to his rescue.
He's coming with us. I promised him he could.
Moraine stood looking at the Ogier as if she had not heard, but finally she nodded.
The wheel weaves as the wheel wills, she murmured. Lan, see that we are not taken unaware.
The warder vanished from the room, silently but for the click of the door shutting behind him. Lan's disappearance acted like a signal. All talk was cut off. Moraine moved to the fireplace, and when she turned back to the room, every eye was on her. Slight of build as she was, her presence dominated.
We cannot remain long in Camelin, nor are we safe here in the Queen's blessing. The Dark One's eyes are already in the city. They have not found what they are searching for, or they would not still be looking. That we have to our advantage. I have set wards to keep them away, and by the time the Dark One realizes that there is a part of the city the rats no longer enter, we will be gone. Any ward that will turn a man aside, though, will be as good as a beacon fire for the Murdral. And there are Children of the Light in Camelin, also, looking for Perrin and Egwene.
Rand made a sound, and Moraine raised an eyebrow at him.
I thought they were looking for Matt and me, he said.
The explanation made both the Aes Sedai's eyebrows lift.
Why do you think the White Cloaks were looking for you?
I heard one say they were looking for someone from the Two Rivers.
Dark friends, he said.
What else was I supposed to think, with everything that's been happening? I'm lucky I can think at all.
It has been confusing, I know, Rand, Loyal put in. But you can think more clearly than that. The children hate Aes Sedai. Elida would not.
Elida? Moraine cut in sharply. What is Elida Sedai to do with this?
She was looking at Rand so hard that he wanted to lean back.
She wanted to throw me in prison, he said slowly.
All I wanted was a look at Loghain, but she wouldn't believe I was in the palace gardens with Elaine and Gawain just by chance.
They were all staring at him, as if he had suddenly sprouted a third eye, all except Loyal. Queen Morghese let me go. She said there was no proof I meant any harm, and she was going to uphold the law, no matter what Elida suspected.
He shook his head, the memory of Morghese in all her radiance making him forget for a minute that anyone was looking at him.
Can you imagine me meeting a queen? She's beautiful, like the queens in stories. So is Elaine. And Gawain? You'd like Gawain, Perrin. Perrin? Matt?
They were still staring.
Blood and ashes, I just climbed up on the wall for a look at the false dragon. I didn't do anything wrong.
That's what I always say, Matt said blandly, though he was suddenly grinning hard, and Egwene asked in a decidedly neutral voice,
Who's Elaine?
Moraine muttered something crossly.
A queen, Perrin said, shaking his head. You really have had adventures.
All we met were tinkers and some white cloaks.
He avoided looking at Moraine so obviously that Rand saw the avoidance plain. Perrin touched the bruises on his face.
On the whole, singing with the tinkers was more fun than the white cloaks.
The traveling people live for their songs, Loyal said. For all songs, for that matter. For the search for them, at least. I met some Tuatha'an a few years back, and they wanted to learn the songs we sing to trees. Actually, the trees won't listen to very many anymore, and so not many Ogier learn the songs. I have a scrap of that talent, so Elder Arendt insisted I learn. I taught the Tuatha'an what they could learn, but the trees never listened to humans. For the traveling people, they were only songs, and just as well received for that, since none was the song they seek. That's what they call the leader of each band, the Seeker. They come to Steading Shangtai sometimes. Few humans do.
If you please, Loyal, Moraine said,
but he cleared his throat suddenly and went on in a quick rumble as if afraid she might stop him.
I've just remembered something, Aes Sedai. Something I have always wanted to ask an Aes Sedai, if ever I met one. Since you know many things, and have great libraries in Tar Valon, and now I have, of course, and may I?"
"If you make it brief," she said curtly.
"Brief,"
he said, as though wondering what it meant.
"Yes. Well, brief. There was a man came to Steading Shang Tai a little time back. This was not unusual in itself at the time, since a great many refugees had come to the spine of the world fleeing what you humans call the Aiel War."
Rand grinned. "A little time back. 20 years, near enough."
"He was at the point of death, though there was no wound or mark on him. The elders thought it might be something Aes Sedai had done."
Lael gave Moraine an apologetic look.
"Since as soon as he was within the steading, he quickly got well. A few months. One night he left without a word to anyone, simply sneaked away when the moon was down."
He looked at Moraine's face and cleared his throat again.
"Yes, brief. Before he left, he told a curious tale which he said he meant to carry to Tar Valon. He said the Dark One intended to blind the eye of the world and slay the great serpent, kill time itself. The elders said he was as sound in his mind as in his body, but that was what he said. What I have wanted to ask is, can the Dark One do such a thing? Kill time itself? And the eye of the world, can he blind the eye of the great serpent? What does it mean?"
Rand expected almost anything from Moraine except what he saw. Instead of giving Loyal an answer or telling him she had no time for it now, she stood there staring right through the Ogier, frowning in thought.
"That's what the Tinkers told us," Perrin said.
"Yes," Egwene said. "The Aiel story." Moraine turned her head slowly. No other part of her moved.
"What story?"
It was an expressionless look she gave them, but it made Perrin take a deep breath, though when he spoke he was as deliberate as ever.
"Some Tinkers crossing the waste, they said they could do that unharmed, found Aiel dying after a battle with Trollocs. Before the last Aiel died, they were all women, apparently, told the Tinkers what Loyal just said. The Dark One, they called him Sightblinder, intends to blind the eye of the world. This was only 3 years ago, not 20. Does it mean something?"
"Perhaps everything," Moraine said.
Her face was still, but Rand had the feeling her mind raced behind those dark eyes.
"Baalzamon,"
Perrin said suddenly. The name cut off all sound in the room. No one appeared to breathe. Perrin looked at Rand, then at Matt, his eyes strangely calm and more yellow than ever.
"At the time, I wondered where I'd heard that name before. The Eye of the World. Now I remember. Don't you?"
"I don't want to remember anything," Matt said stiffly.
"We have to tell her," Perrin continued. "It's important now. We can't keep it secret any longer. You see it, don't you, Rand?"
"Tell me what?" Moraine's voice was harsh, and she seemed to be bracing for a blow. Her gaze had settled on Rand. He did not want to answer. He did not want to remember any more than Matt, but he did remember, and he knew Perrin was right. He looked at his friends. Matt nodded reluctantly, Perrin decisively, but at least they had done it. He did not have to face her alone.
"We have had dreams."
He rubbed the spot on his finger where the thorn had stuck him once, remembering the blood when he woke. Queasley remembered the sunburned feel of his face another time.
"Except maybe they weren't dreams, exactly. Baalzamon was in them."
He knew why Perrin had used that name. It was easier than saying the Dark One had been in your dreams, inside your head.
He said all sorts of things, but once he said the Eye of the World would never serve me.
For a minute, his mouth was as dry as dust.
"He told me the same thing," Perrin said,
and Matt sighed heavily, then nodded. Rand found he had spit in his mouth again.
"You aren't angry with us?" Perrin asked, sounding surprised, and Rand realized that Moraine did not seem angry. She was studying them, but her eyes were clear and calm, if intent.
"More with myself than you, but I did ask you to tell me if you had strange dreams. In the beginning, I asked."
Though her voice remained level, a flash of anger crossed her eyes and was gone in an instant.
"Had I known after the first such, I might have been able to... There has not been a dreamwalker in Tarvalen for nearly 1,000 years, but I could have tried. Now it is too late. Each time the Dark One touches you, he makes the next touching easier for him. Perhaps my presence can still shield you somewhat, but even then...
Remember the stories of the Forsaken binding men to them? Strong men, men who had fought the Dark One from the start. Those stories are true. And none of the Forsaken had a tenth of the strength of their master. Not Agenor or Lanfear, not Balthamel or Demondred, not even Ishamael, the betrayer of hope himself.
Nynaeve and Egwene were looking at him, Rand saw, him and Matt and Perrin, all three. The women's faces were a blood-drained blend of fear and horror.
Are they afraid for us, or afraid of us?
What can we do? He asked. There has to be something.
Staying close by me, Moraine replied, will help. Some. The protection from touching the true source extends around me a little, remember? But you cannot always remain close to me. You can defend yourself if you have the strength for it, but you must find the strength and will within yourself. I cannot give it to you.
I think I've already found my protection, Perrin said, sounding resigned rather than happy.
Yes, Moraine said, I suppose you have.
She looked at him until he dropped his eyes, and even then she stood considering. Finally, she turned to the others.
There are limits to the Dark One's power inside you. Yield even for an instant, and he will have a string tied to your heart, a string you may never be able to cut. Surrender, and you will be his. Deny him, and his power fails. It is not easy when he touches your dreams, but it can be done. He can still send half-men against you, and Trollocs, and Dragkar, and other things. But he cannot make you his unless you let him.
Fades are bad enough, Perrin said.
I don't want him inside my head again, Matt growled. Isn't there any way to keep him out?
Moraine shook her head.
Loyal has nothing to fear, nor Egwene, nor Nynaeve. Out of the mass of humanity, the Dark One can touch an individual only by chance, unless that person seeks it. But for a time at least, you three are central to the pattern. A web of destiny is being woven, and every thread leads straight to you. What else did the Dark One say to you?
I don't remember it all that well, Perrin said. There was something about one of us being chosen, something like that. I remember him laughing, he finished bleakly, about who we were chosen by. He said we could serve him or die, and then we'd still serve him.
He said the Amaranth Seat would try to use us, Matt added, his voice fading as he remembered to whom he was speaking.
He swallowed and went on.
He said just like Tarvalen used... He had some names. Davian, I think.
I can't remember very well either.
Raoul and Darkspain, Perrin said.
Yes, Rand said, frowning.
He had tried to forget everything about those dreams. It was unpleasant bringing them back.
Urien Stonebow was another. And Gwer Amalasan.
He stopped suddenly, hoping Moraine had not noticed how suddenly.
I don't recognize any of them.
But he had recognized one, now that he dredged them from the depths of memory. The name he had barely stopped himself from saying. Loghain, the false dragon.
Light. Tom said they were dangerous names. Is that what Baalzamun meant? Moraine wants to use one of us as a false dragon? Aes Sedai hunt down false dragons. They don't use them. Do they? Light, help me, do they?
Moraine was looking at him, but he could not read her face.
Do you know them? He asked her. Do they mean anything?
The Father of Lies is a good name for the Dark One, Moraine replied. It was always his way to seed the worm of doubt wherever he could. It eats at men's minds like a canker. When you believe the Father of Lies, it is the first step toward surrender. Remember, if you surrender to the Dark One, he will make you his. An Aes Sedai never lies, but the truth she speaks may not be the truth you think you hear.
That was what Tam had said, and she had not really answered his question. He kept his face expressionless and held his hands still on his knees, trying not to scrub the sweat off them on his breeches. Egwene was crying softly. Nynaeve had her arms around her, but she looked as if she wanted to cry too. Rand almost wished he could.
They are all Ta'veren, Loyal said abruptly.
He seemed brightened by the prospect, looking forward to watching from close by as the pattern wove itself around them. Rand looked at him incredulously, and the Ogier gave an abashed shrug, but it was not enough to dim his eagerness.
So they are, Moraine said. Three of them, when I expected one. A great many things have happened that I did not expect. This news concerning the Eye of the World changes much.
She paused, frowning.
For a time the pattern does seem to be swirling around all three of you, just as Loyal says, and the swirl will grow greater before it becomes less. Sometimes being Ta'veren means the pattern is forced to bend to you, and sometimes it means the pattern forces you to the needed path. The web can still be woven many ways, and some of those designs would be disastrous. For you, for the world. We cannot remain in Camelin, but by any road, Myrdral and Trollox will be on us before we have gone 10 miles. And just at this point, we hear of a threat to the Eye of the World. Not from one source, but three, each seeming independent of the others. The pattern is forcing our path. The pattern still weaves itself around you three, but what hand now sets the warp, and what hand controls the shuttle? Has the Dark One's prison weakened enough for him to exert that much control?
There's no need for that kind of talk, Nynaeve said sharply. You'll only frighten them.
But not you, Moraine asked. It frightens me. Well, perhaps you are right. Fear cannot be allowed to affect our course. Whether this is a trap or a timely warning, we must do what we must, and that is to reach the Eye of the World quickly. The Green Man must know of this threat.
Rand gave a start.
The Green Man?
The others stared too, all but Loyal, whose broad face looked worried.
I cannot even risk stopping in Ta'veren for help, Moraine continued. Time traps us. Even if we could ride out of the city unhindered, it would take many weeks to reach the Blight, and I fear we no longer have weeks.
The Blight! Rand heard himself echoed in a chorus, but Moraine ignored them all.
The pattern presents a crisis and at the same time a way to surmount it. If I did not know it was impossible, I could almost believe the Creator is taking a hand. There is a way.
She smiled as if at a private joke and turned to Loyal.
There was an Ogier grove here at Camelin, and a waygate. The new city now spreads out over where the grove once stood, so the waygate must be inside the walls. I know not many Ogier learn the ways now, but one who has a talent and learns the old songs of growing must be drawn to such knowledge, even if he believes it will never be used. Do you know the ways, Loyal?
The Ogier shifted his feet uneasily.
I do, Aes Sedai, but...
Can you find the path to Fal'Dara along the ways?
I've never heard of Fal'Dara,
Loyal said, sounding relieved.
In the days of the Trolloc Wars, it was known as Mafal d'Daranel. Do you know that name?
I know it,
Loyal said reluctantly.
But...
Then you can find the path for us, Moraine said. A curious turn indeed. When we can neither stay nor leave by any ordinary means, I learn of a threat to the Eye, and in the same place there is one who can take us there in days. Whether it is the Creator or fate, or even the Dark One, the pattern has chosen our path for us.
No,
Loyle said, an emphatic rumble like thunder. Everyone turned to look at him, and he blinked under the attention, but there was nothing hesitant about his words.
If we enter the rays, we will all die, or be swallowed by the shadow.